This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, but things you may have noticed not going so overwhelmingly well for the Biden administration. Why not? After a lot of happy talk over the past half year, writes Rich Lowry of National Review, the real Biden presidency has emerged. It is not a colossus bestriding the political universe. No one would say that. Rather, a middling administration at best that will have trouble imposing its will even on its own party in Congress. And what does that mean for the upcoming midterm elections, or even the upcoming elections in Virginia, New York City, places like that, New Jersey, that are going on this year? A new poll, and yes, it is a Republican poll, but it shows that Glenn Youngkin, the Republican nominee for governor of Virginia, is actually running ahead of Terry McAuliffe, who's trying to make a return trip as governor of Virginia, the Democrat. Rich Lowry, he is not only the editor of National Review, he is a contributing editor with Politico magazine, and he did his piece that I'm citing, The Real Biden Presidency Emerges, for Politico. So what's next? You sort of talk about an era of muddling through. In order to even muddle through, what does the Biden administration have to accomplish?
Well, the focus is going to be on these big spending bills. The bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed the Senate comfortably but sitting in the House at the moment, and then this reconciliation bill that Bernie Sanders crafted, and that represents $3.5 trillion in spending. That's really the whole ballgame in terms of his domestic agenda. I think they'll get some of it. I don't think they'll get close to the total amount they're talking about now, and there's some chance that both could go down. And if that happens, you know, the bottom could fall out for Biden. You know, he's in a lot of reputable polls now. He's 45% or below. If he were there in November or next year or lower, and Democrats would lose 50 seats in the House and would lose the Senate. So he's definitely in peril, and a lot depends on Joe Manchin, and he just has limited control over Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat, relative moderate, who represents a very Trumpy state.
Yeah, I mean, Trump carried, it was more than 20 points he carried West Virginia, right? I mean, it was overwhelming. I think that was, along with Wyoming, his most Trumpy state.
Yeah, so you attack Joe Manchin, you're a national Democrat, you're AOC or something, you increase his credibility in West Virginia. You make him stronger and more popular in West Virginia. So he really has the whip hand in this debate, and there are reports, we haven't heard him say this publicly, but reports earlier this week that he says his top line number for the reconciliation bill is $1 trillion or maybe 1.5. And if he's serious about that, they're not going to get more than 1.5 trillion. Now, I don't think there should be any $1.5 trillion bill in Washington, D.C. or anywhere else, but that would be a major come down from 3.5 and closer to what would just be a standard budget bill in Washington.
Well, wouldn't that be a big relief to many of these Democrats who actually have to go face the people in close re-elections coming up?
Yeah, that's interesting, because you can make the case it's actually better for Biden if it's a much smaller bite of the apple rather than the whole 3.5. I think the downside scenario for Biden is, you know, he gets 1.5, let's say somewhere between 1.5 and 2 trillion. That's a come down from the 3.5. It's the AOCs of the world, and the Democratic base is not going to be excited by that. At the same time, it allows Republicans justifiably to add up the numbers of all these spending bills and say this is a historic historic and irresponsible blowout that we can't afford. So there's some potential there he could get the worst of both worlds. But I just think Biden at the beginning, he was boosted by the contrast with Trump. He won by default because he wasn't Trump. A lot of wishful media coverage about how he's going to be the next FDR and LBJ. What seemed to be favorable conditions in terms of the virus getting eroded away with the vaccines and with the labor market healing. And just Trump's not a foil for Biden anymore, really. He's still out there, obviously a significant figure, but not doesn't loom as large as when he was president. And the labor market's still shaky, and we're still dealing with coronavirus and just all those things. You know, he was dropping even prior to Afghanistan. He's been on a downward trajectory since June.
Okay, let me ask you about this, because it's recent history. The last two Democratic presidents both had a pattern. They came in with high expectations for Barack Obama, for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, after those high expectations, his first midterm, he lost 55 House seats. And Barack Obama, his first midterm, came in with even higher expectations, and people really thought that he could, you know, pardon the expression, walk on water. And he lost 63 House seats, I believe it was. But they both came back and won re-election. Do you think that in any corner of his consciousness, Joe Biden and his aides might be thinking, well, maybe we'll have the same pattern. We'll lose to the Republicans. They'll take over the House. They'll take over maybe even the Senate. Then they'll overplay their hand. People always do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back as the alternative to Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, it's possible. And Michael, sometimes it just feels futile to be a pundit because these things do run in well-worn patterns. Not that we're not occasionally surprised by things, but the incumbent president taking a shellacking in the midterm is what always happens. So it would be shocking if they don't lose the House. They have zero margin to play with in the House, basically eight seats, which is nothing. And then usually, not always, but you've seen it doesn't mean the end of an incumbent president. But look, what they'll tell themselves is they're going to find some way not to lose or to diminish their losses, because it is sort of the effect of, you know, there's nothing he's going to be able to do legislatively if he loses the House and the Senate for the next 2 years after the midterms. Plus, if he loses the Senate, it makes it really hard on confirmations, including crucially a Supreme Court confirmation if that comes up. And then we'll see where Biden is. You know, you got this factor that you didn't have with Clinton or Obama, which is age. And I think that's one thing that's hurt him on Afghanistan. It was hugely incompetent. He seemed overwhelmed by events. Now, that may have been true if he'd been 38 years old. He may have done the same thing, reacted the same way. But just being 78, I just think puts in the back of everyone's mind, you know, is he still up for this? And how is he going to be three years from now?
Don't you think there are a lot of Democrats right now who are just licking their chops at digging into the abortion issue, and particularly focusing on the Texas law? Is that if all else fails, Joe Biden would run as somehow protecting the sacred and cherished and popular among Democrats, at least, so-called right of abortion? Don't you expect
Texas itself is going to be a game changer nationally. But we have this Dobbs case. The court will decide next year. There's some significant chance that Roe will be overturned. Not a guarantee, but there's a significant chance. And then just our abortion politics, which has been a kind of a stalemate, you know, for 50 years, lurches into an entirely different realm. And I don't think Republicans have thought this through the way they should. I don't think they quite know how to talk about it yet. I'm not sure they know what they want to do when and if Roe is no longer an obstacle. So that's going to be a huge question mark over the politics of next year. I don't think it's a guaranteed winner for Democrats, but it's going to be literally uncharted territory if it happens.
I know that there is at least some talk by Brett Stevens, actually wrote a piece in which he suggests that if Biden loses control of the House, he's through, and the Democrats will have to find a new candidate. And nobody is impressed with the candidacy of Kamala Harris. So what next for the Democrats? We will continue the conversation. We'll also find out QAnon is taking a position on how to cure COVID. Really? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVed Show.
Stick around, we got lots more coming up on the Michael Medved Show in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions, but we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVed History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to MichaelMedVed.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus membership.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
One of the mistakes among many, many, many that President Biden has made so far has been not to actually make a point of making the pitches for people to get vaccinated, making the pitches for people to be cautious, making the pitch for people to overcome the COVID-19 situation, to make that bipartisan. And one of the ways to have done that would have been to work with a bipartisan group of presidents and or political leaders. And if Trump didn't want to do it and join it, join, say, President Clinton and President Obama. And again, people will hear that from someone who isn't at the same time asking for their vote or their support. And there's all kinds of reasons about why people expect that Biden is desperate in that regard. This is a shocking story, just breaking news from the Chicago Sun-Times. The Chicago Sun-Times reports angry QAnon backers want a hospital to treat supporters COVID-19 with unapproved drug. Key backers of the QAnon conspiracy theory, which of course believes that there is a elite liberal cabal that drinks blood and worships Satan and traffics in young children. They are now carrying out a coordinated campaign against a Northside hospital that has refused to prescribe an unapproved drug to treat one of the group's followers for COVID-19. You'll never guess what drug. Ivermectin. QAnon supporters have in recent days targeted Amita Resurrection Medical Center with a small in-person protest and a flood of phone calls, the hospital confirmed. The supporters are demanding that doctors give a hospitalized ally ivermectin, a medication approved for treating parasites in both humans and animals, that has garnered huge interest in recent weeks, with the vaccine-averse increasingly touting it as a groundbreaking coronavirus treatment. Well, that's a seal of approval, turned down by the FDA and turned down by the CDC, but approved enthusiastically by QAnon. And you know you can count on them, right? Well, not ideally. I was mentioning the difficulty that Joe Biden has. There's a piece by Brett Stevens, which is very insightful and very well written, as usual. And he says Biden can still save his presidency. But it's actually Biden can still save his presidency with a big question mark next to it. He writes in the New York Times, "A diminished president will preside over a diminished nation. We are a country that could not keep a demagogue from the White House," so says Brett Stevens, "could not stop an insurrection mob from storming the Capitol, could not win, or at least avoid losing, a war against a morally and technologically retrograde enemy, cannot conquer a disease for which there are safe and effective vaccines, and cannot bring itself to trust the government, the news media, the scientific establishment, the police, or any other institution meant to operate for the common good. Our civilization was born optimistic and enlightened," writes Brett Stevens, "at least by the standards of the day. Now it feels as if it's fading into paranoid senility." Wow. Joe Biden was supposed to be the man of the hour. A calming presence, exuding decency, moderation, and trust. As a candidate, he sold himself as a transitional president, a fatherly figure in the mold of George H.W. Bush, who would restore dignity and prudence to the Oval Office after the mendacity and chaos that came before. "It's why I voted for him," says Brett Stevens, "as did so many others who once tipped red. Instead, Biden has become the problem of the hour, not the man of the hour, the emblem of the hour. Headstrong but shaky, ambitious but inept. He seems to be the last person in America to realize that whatever the theoretical merits of the decision to withdraw our remaining forces from Afghanistan, the military and intelligence assumptions on which it was built were deeply flawed. The manner in which it was executed was a national humiliation and a moral betrayal. And the timing was catastrophic. Why so catastrophic? He's exactly right about this. We find ourselves commemorating the first great jihadist victory over America in 2001, right after delivering the second great jihadist victory over America in 2021. The 9/11 memorial at the World Trade Center, water cascading into one void and then trickling out of sight into another, has never seemed more fitting. Now Biden proposes to follow this up with his $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill, which the Times' Jonathan Weissman describes as, quote, the most significant expansion of the nation's safety net since the war on poverty in the 1960s. But Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, published an essay in the Wall Street Journal in which he said, I, for one, will not support a $3.5 trillion bill or anywhere near that. In other words, things are gliding into absolutely nowhere. And the most important thing, it seems to me, I remember it was a joke during the Trump administration, and people laughed about it, including President Trump. They were going to do Infrastructure Week. Well, it's the same kind of thing here. They were talking a lot about infrastructure. They actually passed a big infrastructure bill, $1.5 trillion, in the Senate. But now they're sitting on it. And we're going nowhere, and no one knows what is next in terms of the political divisions in a very divided country. 1-800-955-1776. More coming up.
Now it's time for MedBed's Entertainment Minute.
There's a splashy new biographical musical comedy melodrama based on a BBC documentary called Jamie, Drag Queen at 16. The movie offers a less revealing title, Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Now streaming on Prime Video.
What do you want to be? A performer.
Why do you want to be on the stage?
I want to be a drag queen because it's all I ever dream of.
That's his mentor, played by Richard E. Grant, who inspires him, as does his mother, while his father in Sheffield, England, at first feels only disgust for his sensitive son. The dancing and singing, especially by charismatic young lead Max Harwood, is both catchy and kitschy. But the unfolding of this true story, for all its energy and audacity, offers few surprises and only limited satisfactions. Rated PG-13 for some rude language, 2 stars for Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Well, not quite everybody.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Over two dozen Republican governors are wanting a meeting with President Biden due to the illegal immigration surge at the U.S. southern border. The governors have signed and sent a letter to the White House requesting the meeting. But Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey isn't holding out hope to get together anytime soon.
This White House doesn't listen to governors, it doesn't value governors, it doesn't talk to the governors. It looks at us as lower middle managers in their federal corporation.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, President Biden says nothing is more urgent than defeating COVID around the world. Biden opening a global COVID summit and saying, we've all suffered in the pandemic. Biden saying it's an all-hands-on-deck crisis and saying the solution lies in global vaccinations. This is USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Michael Medved Show, one of the things I mentioned before that I really care about is I believe there is such a thing as the truth. The truth is not just relative. Well, you have this truth, you have this truth. They're big truths. And remember, I had a caller from Redmond. I forget the first name. I'm sorry. But someone called in from Redmond, and he mentioned that President Trump had taken ivermectin and it worked for him. And I said on the air meeting, I don't believe that's correct. I don't think there's any evidence at all that the president ever took anything like ivermectin. And looked it up. They have a list of all the 8 drugs that President Trump took. None of them were ivermectin. None of them were horse wormers. None of them were human forms of ivermectin. None of that had anything to do with ivermectin. It's just not true. And I hate that. And then we just got a call, well-meaning lady. Thank you very much for calling. She said, I think Michael might need to know that the government of Japan has just approved and recommended ivermectin. And here is a... An immediate correction. Jeremy, who shall I credit for this? This is Japan has not endorsed ivermectin as COVID-19 treatment. Social media posts suggest that Japan's government recommends using antiparasitic drug ivermectin to treat COVID-19, citing remarks by the chairman of the Tokyo Medical Association. This is misleading. While he cautiously supported the treatment, the association does not represent the country's government, which has not endorsed ivermectin for that use. Tokyo's Medical Association chairman holds live press conference recommending ivermectin to all doctors for all COVID patients. Japan's government is one of the most conservative and cautious in the world. That is clear. Huge news, says an August 22nd, 2021 tweet featuring a video of association chairman Haruo Ozaki. Well, it turns out the AFP Canada provided the fact check. It isn't true. It didn't happen. The government of Japan does not recommend it. And it's very, very difficult when people are so regularly, so frequently, so pointlessly misled. And I do want to be a corrective on that. And concerning Joe Biden and the future of this administration, Brett Stevens concludes, and I think it's very, very much worth thinking about. If history repeats itself in the 2022 midterms, I doubt that even Joe Biden's closest aides think he has the stamina to fight his way back in 2024. In other words, if he loses both houses of Congress. And that would be an unusual thing, because generally presidents run for a second term. Biden, of course, being 78 years old, would be, I think, a surprise to no one if he backed away. Has Kamala Harris shown the political talent to pick up the pieces? Perhaps what will save the Democrats is that Biden's weakness will tell Donald Trump to seek and almost certainly gain the Republican nomination. But then there's the good chance he'd win the election. There's a way back from this cliff's edge. It begins, he says, with Biden finding a way to acknowledge publicly the gravity of his administration's blunders. The most shameful aspect of the Afghanistan withdrawal was the incompetence of the State Department when it came to expediting visas for the thousands of people eligible to come to the United States. Accountability could start with Antony Blinken's resignation. The president might also seize the strategic pause Joe Manchin has proposed and push House Democrats to pass the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill and not holding it hostage to the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. Infrastructure is far more popular with middle-of-the-road voters than the Great Society reprise, who was never supposed to be a part of the Biden brand. And they says this, and this is chilling. My sense is that Biden will do neither. The last few months have told us something worrying about this president. He's proud, he's inflexible, and thinks he's much smarter than he really is. That's bad news for the administration. It's worse news for the country that desperately needs to avoid another failed presidency. I think that's serious and worth considering. Also worth considering is the debate that broke out between two political giants, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Sarah Palin. Remember her? This debate started with AOC appearing on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and then Palin reacted to her interview and interview in an appearance on Fox News. Here's AOC first, clip two.
The law that was passed in Texas. We know that anti-choice bills are not about being pro-life, because if they were about being pro-life, then the Republican Party would support, frankly, an agenda that helps guaranteed health care, that helps ensure that people who do give birth that don't have the resources to care for a child can have that care for a child. So we know that none of this is about life. None of this is about supporting life. What this is about is controlling women's bodies and controlling people who are not cisgender men. This is about making sure that someone like me as a woman or any menstruating person in this country cannot make decisions over their own body.
Okay, What other kind of menstruating person is there who isn't a woman? Let's not go too detailed. Sarah Palin has a response. Clip 11.
Oh, AOC, she's really milking this, isn't it? She is such a fake feminist that she would bring up an issue like this and try to use it to make some kind of political point. That's not equality, right? Don't even get me started on this. This just makes my stomach sick what she has done. She should be embarrassed to even have tried to bring up an issue like that and make her political point. She's so off base politically, but off base even in this analysis. Or whatever it is that she's throwing out there. She's milking the whole female thing, and as a real feminist, I'm embarrassed for her.
Deb, don't you think it would be get some ratings if they actually went face-to-face? It's not Lincoln Douglas, but still. AOC clapped back in a video posted to social media, saying to Sarah, "Does my existence make you mad? Listen.
My existence make you mad to the fact that, yes, I am a mouthpiece for the people of New York's 14th Congressional District. Upset you? Well, I have help for you. Call 1-800-CRY-NOW. That's 1-800-CRY-NOW.
Okay. It's, can our country begin to maybe use this occasion to maybe get a little bit of that determination to come together a little bit more meaningfully? I mean, how ridiculous, by the way, to suggest that both sides, there are people on both sides who have profound emotional feelings about abortion, which is exactly why the idea of one size fits all, basically imposed by a court rather than by democratic processes, was such a disaster in 1973. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
So here's the deal.
Michael MedVed.
So the deal is...
You're listening to a Best of the Michael Medved Show as your cultural crusader is out observing the holiday of Sukkot. Lots more coming up. And just a reminder, it's about $6 a month to become a Medhead. That's a great way to support the show. It's at michaelmedved.com. Commercial-free radio programs, commentaries, two different podcasts, Tomlin's Take, and a whole lot more. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Above all, thank you so much for listening. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage, given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment? That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
One of the big winning issues for Gavin Newsom and the Democrats in California, and I hate to say it because it makes a lot of people in the center and a lot of people on the right cringe, they asked a question for all of the people who voted, and it was a pretty good, pretty big turnout. They asked, how serious a problem for California is climate change? And only 17% said it's not serious. 60% said it's very serious. 19% said it's somewhat serious. So a total of 79% of people in California who voted said that climate change was a very serious problem for California. So let's get some perspective. And no better place to go for perspective than Bjorn Lomborg, who's a visiting fellow with the Hoover Institution in California. He is president of the Copenhagen Consensus Center and visiting professor at Copenhagen Business School. He has numerous books, including Skeptical Environmentalist, Cool It, and How to Spend $75 billion to Make the World a Better Place. Bjorn, glad to speak with you. If people came up to you, and I hate to put you on the spot, and said, Bjorn Lomborg, you're an expert on this. How serious a problem for California is climate change? Very serious, somewhat serious, not serious?
I'd probably say it's somewhat serious. Look, it's a problem, and we have pretty good evidence. I'm not sure we have it as far down as specifically for California, but for rich countries, we're talking about the impact in about 80 years. Is in the order of 2 to 4% of GDP. So it's not nothing, but remember over that time period, we'll probably be some 2 to 3 times richer. So it's a couple of percent off 200 to 300%. Yeah, it's a problem. No, it's not something your kids should be, existentially worried about. And of course, it's not something that you should end up spending tens of percent trying to avoid, because in that way you'll actually make your kids and the future worse.
There's a new headline based upon a poll in The Lancet. It's an international poll of some 10,000 young adults who say that these leaders of tomorrow believe they've been betrayed by older generations concerning climate change, and as a result of that betrayal, they fear having children. What would you say to folks with that kind of fear?
Well, I think first we need to recognize that it makes perfect sense. If you were a kid growing up today, you see on the television every day that there's this fire and there's this flood and there's this hurricane and there's all kinds of things that are basically stacking up. The feeling is that the world is dying around you, and it's all because of global warming. This is what you're being told, and leaders are not doing enough. It makes sense to have this despair, this sense of, oh, my God, the world is collapsing. It's false, and I'll get to that in just a second, but I understand why young people feel this way. And so I think we need to, first of all, tell them, I understand you. I understand why you feel this way. But let me just show you some statistics that may indicate that you're being oversold on this point. Again, global warming is real. It is a problem, but you're being oversold. And let me just give you one statistic for starters. So how many people die from climate-related disasters? Well, we actually know because we have good data for the last 100 years. So if you look at all the different problems that the world has had, and this is across all kinds of areas, we know how much this has actually cost the world. So look at floods, droughts, storms, wildfires, and extreme temperatures. 100 years ago, on average, about 500,000 people died each year from these climate-related disasters. Last decade, less than 20,000 people died each year. And remember, the world quadrupled in population at the same time. And 2021, so this year, if we extrapolate to the rest of the year, of course, the whole year is not done, but if we extrapolate as it usually is, about 6,000 people will die from climate-related disasters. We have seen a reduction of more than 99.7% in risk from climate-related disasters.
Can I just get clear for everybody, those 6,000 people who will die from climate-related disasters, is that in the world or in the United States?
That's in the world. So this
in the world, which is unbelievable.
It is unthinkable. And remember, it does not mean that these 6,000 deaths are not catastrophes. So they include, you know, 624 from the heat dome. They include 358 from the EU floods. There's almost 600 people in India from different catastrophes you haven't heard of. There's 147 from the Houston storm in February. And, you know, the list goes on. This is a pretty complete list. This is the international database, the one that everybody uses, including the UN. My point here is simply to recognize that you hear about all kinds of catastrophes. And, yes, it is terrible that 6,000 people died. But what you don't hear is it used to be much, much worse. This is actually a phenomenal testament to the fact that we are much more resilient. Remember, what matters for societies is not just climate, but it's also what we do about climate. So, yes, we have storms, but because we're rich, we're much less impacted. Because we're better technologically prepared, we have warning systems, we're being told way in advance. We know a lot of the things that we need to actually deal with the weather that the world throws at us. We have become 99.7% better at this. This is not a world that's collapsing. It could still be better, and I love the fact that young people want to make it even better, but they should not believe that this is an existential crisis. They should not believe that this is the end of the world.
I remember very vividly, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to me does, who lives in the West Coast, or particularly the Pacific Northwest, we had this extraordinary experience this summer where a lot of people who said, oh, I'm not really worried about global warming, suddenly they became warming when we had 3 days in a row, which is unheard of, in Seattle, where it was over 100 degrees. People and the Weather Channel said, we got to get used to it. This is the result of climate change. But then when you look at actually some of the weather forecasts that are coming up, right now we're 4 inches less rain than we have on a typical year, on an average year. That's not an indication of a looming famine or anything of that nature, is it?
No. So what we have to get over is this incessant, whenever it's hot, it's global warming, and whenever it's cold, it's not a counter-argument to global warming. Look, global warming is not about weather. It's about climate. It's about the average over a very long time. So it is true that as temperatures rise, we're going to see more heat. Remember, that heat in Canada and the U.S. kills about 2,800 people every year. So it's a significant problem, and it's something that we should be concerned about. We heard a lot about those 600 to 800 people that died during the heat dome. But what we don't think about is the fact that every year the global burden of disease, so basically the world's biggest study on deaths from University of Washington and others, tells us that more than 100,000 people die from cold in the U.S. and Canada. Why is it we only obsess about the 2,800 people that die from heat, but forget to obsess about the almost 100,000 people that die from cold? And remember, those people die to a very large extent because they don't have access to cheap, plentiful energy that will keep them warm all the way through winter. What really matters here is that we keep a balanced perspective. Yes, we should worry about more heat deaths, and we should certainly do something. One of the ways is obviously to get people cheap and affordable air conditioning. But we should also remember that there's many, many more people that die from cold that we can help very easily and cheaply if we focus on the right policies.
Bjorn Lomborg, what is your next project forthcoming?
So actually, I'm doing, you just mentioned the Wall Street Journal. I'm doing a whole series for them. So tomorrow
Fantastic.
You will feast your eyes on a new op-ed, and I'm doing an op-ed every week up to the Climate Summit in Glasgow in November. I'll be doing a lot more of these statistics, basically telling people, look, you think you know one thing, but if you actually look at the statistics, a lot of what you see is not what you hear. Again, it doesn't mean global warming is not real, but it does mean we're probably being oversold a lot of the scare. And that's, of course, important also for our kids.
And it's important, unfortunately, also for network TV ratings, which the worse the natural disaster, the more people are likely to watch. It doesn't mean that there are more natural disasters. Bjorn Lomborg, you can check out his information and his perspective and his contacts at our website at michaelmedved.com, visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution, and he will be there at the Glasgow Climate Summit. I helped giving us the very latest from there as they report.
We'll be right back on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.